to advertise on Urban Media Today and Urban Media Today Radio, call 412-424-7045. Urban Media Today is an online blog magazine specializing in urban lifestyle, finance, entertainment, HBCU sports, and more, with 24/7 exposure and online exclusives. Email editor at urbanmediatoday.com or call 412-424-7045.
Soul Tape.
Champions Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
Welcome to Urban Media Today Radio. I'm your co-host, Bill Neal, along with Kevin Cameron. It is Soul Take, Champions Live sports talk show.
All right. Today we have a number of special guests. My co-host, Bill Neal, is actually out this week. So, Bill, wherever you're at, I believe he told me Jacksonville. So I hope he's having a good time in Florida. I believe he'll be away for a week. So what he's doing in Florida, I don't know. I will not ask. Today, our special guest, we have Major Mark Whitett, author of the Pittsburgh Pipers, the book, The Forgotten Champions. Thanks a lot, Mark, for being here today.
Thanks for asking me to be here.
Okay, and I know we're going to talk about a number of different sports topics, so can't wait until I get your comments on a number of items. The other guest, Darrell Porter, former University of Pittsburgh basketball star and Duquesne University basketball coach. Darrell, great to have you in the house again.
I'm happy to be here.
And also, our third guest, last but not least, Mr. Robert Rock Robinson, president and CEO of the West Penn Minority Junior Golf Association, National Black Golf Hall of Fame inductee. And I just have to laugh because I thought Rock had $2 out there, but he told me it's only $1, and it's from the ghetto to the green. So go ahead and Google that and go ahead and order your copy. Welcome, Rod. Welcome back.
Thank you, Kevin. It's my pleasure to be here once again.
Once again, yes, yes. So today, guys, we're going to talk about a number of sports topics. We're going to talk about, of course, the NBA championship. We're going to talk about the NHL championship, Major League Baseball, and the Pittsburgh Pirates. And you know what, guys? I'm not sure if you even know this. This probably flew over most people's heads, but there's a Major League Baseball draft that's going on right now. So we'll talk about that just a little bit, as well as the PGA Tour. The Memorial Tournament was this past weekend, and, you know, Tiger Woods did show up. He briefly got in the lead. In the lead, I should say, for probably maybe a half a hole, Rock.
A minute.
and we'll talk about that. Also, the French Open tennis tournament is going on. And, of course, the NFL. The NFL is big news right now for many reasons, for many controversial reasons. And we'll talk about that and a lot of other sports topics that come up as we proceed throughout the program. But let's talk about the NBA playoffs. Right now, Golden State and Cleveland. Darrell, who says that the regular season means anything? And I say that because both teams, Golden State and Cleveland, they were not number one seeds going into the playoffs. So you have Toronto at home. And you also have, who was the other, Houston, mm-hmm. at home. So I guess if you position yourselves correctly for the playoffs, you could make a run. But I think most people had Golden State and Cleveland in the championship at the beginning of the year. Maybe we didn't know what the makeup of that Cleveland team would look like. Right. But we thought, most people thought, that Cleveland would represent the East and Golden State would represent the West. So if I could go back to just discuss some of the results of game one, a lot of controversial things went on game one. That was an opportunity for Cleveland to actually sneak a game. And as I was watching it, guys, you know, I like to be right on my predictions. I said when Boston was playing Cleveland and when Houston was playing Golden State that Golden State would win that seventh game, actually the last two games, the same with Cleveland. But I said once those two teams got into the championship that Golden State would sweep the King, LeBron James. So that first game, I was on the edge of my seat saying, come on now, what's going on? So Darrell, let's talk about that game one, and if you could let me know your thoughts on the game. We'll talk about the charging or blocking at the end. I'll let you take it from there.
Well, I'll tell you what, it was a very entertaining game. The one thing that it showed was Cleveland's capable of winning or beating the Warriors. If a couple of those controversial plays don't happen, they might sneak out of there with one game. And the biggest thing with NBA is to win a game on the road. You win one game on the road and win your home games, then you can win the thing. Now, as far as home court advantage, I think Golden State and Cleveland had injuries and different lineup changes. So they wanted to be healthy by the end of the year instead of maybe spot higher or two. I think Cleveland finished fourth. Yeah. And Golden State might have been second, but they both had injuries. But they're healthy now. They're healthy at the right time.
Right. So Cleveland was actually seeded fourth.
Right.
Going into the playoffs. And as I indicated, so what did you think game one about the charge or the block on
well, all I can say is I have never seen a play called and then changed in the game. Usually once the referee makes a call, that's it. There's always –
Well, we saw it in the New England game,
if somebody tipped the ball or something like that, then the other ref might come in and say, oh, no. But when somebody calls a charge, I've never seen them go change it after they made the call. So that was a big turnaround because that was 2 points that Cleveland would have stopped them from getting.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the 2 points they get, that's a four-point turnaround for real.
Probably about 50 seconds left somewhere in that neighborhood. But I referenced the New England game, and I was referring to the New England-Jacksonville playoff game where – it was an encroachment call or a offsides call, and the referee came back, seemed like 2 minutes later, and actually reversed the call in New England's favor. In this situation here, I think the initial, I shouldn't say controversy, but the initial indecision was the restricted zone in the paint. Was LeBron in the restricted zone? And they were unsure, and that's what prompted them to review the call. And if I'm not mistaken, they can only do that within the last 2 minutes of the game. So I hate to say it, but, you know, Cleveland basketball is different than, you know, football and baseball. But out of all teams, this would happen to Cleveland, right?
It did happen, but he was outside of the
restricted zone. But he was – I thought he was moving.
He was moving, but you can be moving and somebody knock you over.
Yeah, but he kind of moved into him to try to draw the charge, which he initially got.
I don't think too many people thought that was a bad call when it was called a charge.
But once you saw the replay, what did you think?
I thought it was still a charge.
You thought it was still a charge.
Because people push off. JR became the focal point of that game.
Yes,
he gets a rebound. Doesn't probably know what's going on. He's trying to dribble the clock out. People were like waving and doing stuff, yelling. The guys from Golden State were like running the guard. Other people were like, what's he doing? and then they don't get a shot off.
So but, now that's 45 seconds later.
Right.
Okay, so.
But there was a play before that I want to talk about.
Okay.
And I am a stickler for this. At the end of the first half, J.R. Smith goes for a gamble.
Yes.
48 feet from the hoop. He goes for a gamble, misses the gamble, and then Curry hits a 35-40 footer. Where if he would have just played on his defense, Curry wouldn't even been able to get the shot off. So he goes for a steal, takes himself out the play. He hit the three. Then when the game goes into overtime, I'm looking back at that play like, oh, I can't believe it.
So he had a number of brain lapses during the game.
It was way more than the ones you know about.
Right. So we talked about those particular plays, but there's another – play or another situation we need to talk about. George Hill, I believe his first name is George, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
He's at the line with his team down 1 point. He's shooting two.
Right.
Okay. So he makes the first free throw.
Right.
Now he has an opportunity to put Cleveland up by one.
Point. Yes.
And he misses the ball. Comes off the front of the rim. So that was another opportunity for Cleveland to win.
Right.
Okay, J.R. Smith gets the ball, and then he looked like he had good position on Durant under the hoop. And again, we talked about him having a brain lapse and dribbled out. So if I could go back to the charging or blocking, even if that was a bad call and maybe shouldn't have been reviewed. I'm not sure if you should look at it that way, but if you do, Cleveland still had at least two other opportunities to win the game.
More than two, more than three. They had plenty of opportunity. They kind of folded.
Right. And
well, the other thing you don't see in the NBA is Darrell, are you allowed to take two or three steps going to the hoop?
Probably four in the NBA.
Is there a traveling rule anymore?
It looked like there's no such thing as a travel unless you're a rookie. If you're like LeBron James, you could push. You talking about him accepting the charge? Did you see a couple times where he just pushed people out of the way?
Yes.
And they just call it aggressive offense. Mm-hmm. I've seen a couple times where I know he took like at least three steps.
Well, I watched the game from a coach's perspective, and those bonehead plays that some of those guys made, I mean, in elementary school, you teach them don't do that. And they were doing some stuff that you learn in, you know, fifth grade basketball. They were making some mistakes. But they did. Also, they had a lane violation, yeah. Kevin. I'm not sure if you saw that. On one of those free throws, it was a lane violation.
How much time was it?
Golden State, they didn't call it.
Okay.
So and I didn't know that they did this. Every game they critique. So they sent to the fans, we made a mistake on all these plays. And it was all plays that went against Cleveland. And they said, oh, well, that was the wrong call, but it's too late. Then nobody cares.
Well, I know the announcers indicated that every call is reviewed by the league.
Right.
But the announcer was saying that we never get that feedback.
No,
but
I didn't even know they did it. I didn't know it was a rule the last 2 minutes you could go look at a play and review it because I don't know how many times that happened.
But you're saying with the lane violation, though, they did come out and provide information to the fans.
Right, they provided that they made a mistake.
Okay, so that was an exception.
But that's something we didn't even know. We weren't paying attention. They just brought some light to it. It was a lot of different plays all the time. Since it's a real big game and an overtime game, every little play becomes magnified now.
So as far as game one, I think just about 90% of the so-called basketball experts had Golden State. And they were really surprised that Cleveland came out and gave it a real good game. Really should have won the game. The game ends up going into overtime, mm-hmm. and they let it slip through their hands. So, going in, let's talk about game two now.
Well, game one.
Okay.
Didn't LeBron break 50?
Yeah.
Yeah.
51 points.
51 points. So, to me, that's two huge things. LeBron had a huge game, 51 points. First time he broke 50 in the playoffs this year, right?
Yeah.
And then J.R. Smith has the brain lock. Boy, that's tough to come back from. You know.
That's situation awareness. I mean, how did you not know at that situation that you were down one when George Hill went to the line and that potentially if he make two, we're up one and he missed one. And there's only like 5-6 seconds left.
Yeah, 4.7.
You have to know the situation. And guys, I'm not sure if you ever heard this before, but this is something that always drove me crazy, even before game one of the NBA championship. But I have heard at the youth level, coaches telling kids during the game, don't worry about the score, just play. Have you all ever heard that before?
You get some of the worst advice at youth basketball, and there's a reason for that. The person coaching is probably the only one who got free time because it's all volunteer work.
The score is important.
Yes. And scoring that, time is very important.
And that used to drive me crazy, and I used to always tell the coach if I had the opportunity to, hey, the score is important. Everyone should know the score. Everyone should know the time. You know, the way you play should be based on, you know, those factors. If it's 5 seconds left in a quarter or a half, you know you can't hold on to the ball. So I think we all agree with that, but that's what that reminded me of.
Right, the time management. And I'm not sure. It wasn't the coaches. He probably got so caught up in the game that you get a rebound or do something, and that split second that you make a decision, man, could hurt
you. Think
you.
He was trying to get it to LeBron?
No.
No.
Because LeBron was like waving and like, what are you doing? He was lost.
He was pushing,
like pointing the other direction.
So that was, again, we talked about the brain lapses, and we'll move on to talking about the results of game two. Now, game two, of course, Golden State won 101-92, and it was competitive to a certain extent, but I never felt Cleveland got close enough to actually make a threat, and I need to make a correction on that score as well. But LeBron played 43 minutes more than any player during that game. He had 29 points, 9 rebounds, and 4 assists. But 43 minutes, that's a lot of time, and that's not unexpected given the situation that Cleveland has. We all know Cleveland is only as good as LeBron, but as I indicated before, one of the reasons I thought Golden State would be able to sweep Cleveland because you can only go so long. He's human. So I'm not sure how he continues to do it. I see he's getting beat up. He has a red and damaged eye already.
Oh, yeah, he got poked in the eye.
So I know he's the best player in the NBA, but Darrell, I mean, you know, how much more can he do?
Well, he can't do much more than he's doing. He makes the right plays. He makes the right passes. And sometimes they're not hitting shots for him. When they hit shots for him, they're a totally different team. And I think that the game in Cleveland, they shoot better. So it should be more competitive. But overall, the Warriors have the most talent, and usually the most talent wins.
Well, I like to go back to that game one. Like Darrell, what you said, if you can split on the road, then you're in business. And they came so close, and to recover from that mentally, you know better than I, that can't be easy, and that's where they are. But if they can steal game three, they're back in it.
Well, about a week or two ago, they were saying the same thing when they were down 0-2 against Boston. Oh, it's over, this is not. They come home, win two games. Boston wins, they come home again, win the game, and they got to win one game on the other court. And they won it in the seventh game, and they were able to get here. But I'm not sure if they can pull it off against Golden State.
Well, that's the key. As I was listening to you, I was hoping you would come back with Golden State, because Boston is Boston and Golden State is Golden State. And we know that Boston was depleted, and Boston was fortunate enough to take it to a game set.
Right.
And they could have won as well.
Now, one of the things I would like to say is, if there's an injury, Golden State loses another player, then when Thompson got hit in his leg, if he would have been out, then that changes the whole picture.
Right. And we're going to talk about game three, which is
– but Iggy's coming back.
Exactly. when he might be back. So we'll see.
He'll be back.
Tonight is game three at 9 p.m. in Cleveland. But going back to game two, Kevin Love had a pretty good game.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Love had 22 points, 10 rebounds, and one assist. And the correction on the score from what I said before, the score was 122 for Golden State and 103 for Cleveland. So it was a lot wider gap than what I initially indicated. And it was to the point where they pulled the players with about 4 minutes left in the game. So when you take a look at game two, the difference between Cleveland and Golden State, of course, is what kind of help are you getting from the starters? And I mentioned Kevin Love. He had a good game, but that was about it.
Right.
Offensively.
Offense, well, he had 10 rebounds as well.
What about defense?
Defense, I thought he did a decent job. He's not known to be a defensive player, but game two, I thought he did play a decent defensive game. And also, as far as the Warriors, just talking about contributions, they had three players with 20-plus points. So you had Curry with 33, Durant 26, and Clay with 20.
It's hard to beat that.
But despite all that, Cleveland played a nice third quarter and was only 3 points behind at one point.
So how did they?
I think the game was closer than we're saying.
Really?
Yeah.
But you forgot the other guy who was 5 for 5.
The
big man,
well,
Golden McGee,
right? McGee pitched, had a pretty good
who
game.
Who pitched in? So when you start getting guys like that pitching in, that's unexpected points.
Hey, let me tell you, if you got three guys firing threes and making 3-pointers from all over the place, it opens up everything. Now somebody's a little fake. he's getting nice little looks, man. It's almost like running the ball in football. You pound it, pound it, pound it, then you get throw over the
bomb.
Top.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you had Sean Livingston as well. He had a really good game. He was 5 for 5, and he had 10 points as well.
People don't realize that Sean Livingston was number 2 player in the country coming out of high school, and he was the number 3 pick. He came straight out of high school, but then he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's rehabbed back, and now he's playing. So he's a talented player that people don't know much about. But he's a solid player to be having coming off the bench. And that's what makes Golden State even better when they have – you talk about their starters, but their bench is strong.
He was perfect in game one too.
Yeah.
So he's perfect for the whole series.
Yes.
So, again, he went 5 for 5, and then you had – JaVale McGee that we talked about, he went 6 for 6. And I'm not sure, Darrell, but it seemed like to me they had that in their plans for game two, to go inside to McGee.
Right. They started him.
Right. The way they ran their offense, they were trying to spread the floor and then throw it into McGee for an easy hoop. And they did have at least 2 or 3 easy hoops. So
they had that in the first game too, but one time the rim got in the way.
Oh yeah, he blocked himself one time.
I did see that. I did see that. So from a coordination standpoint, maybe he got better from game one to game two. But I tell you what, guys, if I know Cleveland is a lot better team at home, and we're going to talk about game three, but Cleveland is 8-1 during the playoffs at home, and they're 4-5 on the road. So this game three is really key. I know that I said that I felt the sweep coming on, but if they have any chance whatsoever, they have to win game three. But just going back to game two, what about Curry? Stephen Curry with his three-pointers.
Curry was on fire, and I mean, some of those shots you couldn't do anything against. They guard him great, and he still makes them. One time he was falling backwards and hit a shot. I mean, you can't play much better D.
That was the signature play of the game right there.
You can't play much better D than that. Yeah. How do you play better? And then he still make it. So sometimes it's good D, but better O.
And are you referring to the shot before halftime or?
No.
I know he had a couple.
That was the one on your boy Love.
He shot it over Kevin Love. Kevin Love is like 6'10". He's maybe 6'2".
Mm-hmm. And he even fumbled the ball right before
he
that.
He started going backwards a little bit and just. Yeah. I mean, nobody thought he was going to make it. And his balls, when they go in, nothing but net. I mean, those are incredible shots.
And he's about to scrape the roof, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, given the way he shot the ball, he had a good shoot night. Klay Thompson, as I indicated before, he scored 20. He had a good shoot night. And Durant had 26. He had a decent shoot night as well. So, I mean, the five starters, and I didn't even mention Green. They had a really good night. So
they're one of the few teams that have 6-7 players who can score double figures on every game. So they're balanced. They shoot threes, and they're hard.
They
to
move
guard.
The ball on offense. So it's all about getting the best shot for that offensive possession. So again, they're tough to beat. And I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen game three. And what about that standing ovation J.R. Smith got during game two? Did you all see that?
The fans there love him now.
Of course they do. And the MVP chants and everything else. Yeah. So I tell you what, guys, we're going to wrap up this particular segment. And on the other end, we're going to talk about game three. And we're going to talk about, is Stephen Curry the MVP of the series? And is he the best shooter ever? I know we mentioned this a number of other times. And, again, further in the program, we're going to talk about the PGA Tour and the French Open, the NFL, NHL, and Major League Baseball. So we'll see you after the break.
In your hand, you have $19.99. What could you do with that? You can fill up your gas tank, stop by a local coffee shop. You may need to add a little bit more to that. Maybe a matinee ticket to the movies. Matinee, though. What about subscribing to UrbanMediaToday.com? No, think about it. For just $19.99, you'll receive exclusive podcasts, interviews, entertainment updates, sports reports, and more. A VIP subscription to Urban Media Today is more than just a magazine subscription. It's access to the urban lifestyle. UrbanMediaToday.com is your only source for HBCU sports. Plus, you have direct access to awesome prizes like gift cards, swag, concert tickets, and your $19.99 supports another minority-owned business. That's pretty cool, right? Log on to UrbanMediaToday.com right now and subscribe for just $19.99 a year. Not a month, not a week, but a year. You've always wanted to be a VIP, right? Well, here's your chance. Subscribe today for just $19.99 at UrbanMediaToday.com.
1, 2, 3! Hit me with the horn, 20! Keep making noise! Keep making noise! Let me clear my throat. Oh! Have mercy, babe. Ha! I hope you don't mind. Let me clear my throat.
Game three of the NBA championship is in Cleveland tonight at 9 p.m. Like I said, you won't miss a thing. So, again, our special guest today, Major Mark Whited, Darrell Porter, and Robert Rock Robinson. We've been talking about NBA basketball, the championship, Cleveland, and Golden State. Fellas, let's talk about Game 3. As I indicated before, Cleveland is a much better basketball team at home, 8-1 during the playoffs. However, Golden State is in the house. What do you guys think? Who do you like tonight?
Well, I'm hoping that Cleveland wins so that it'll be a 7-game series. But they'll have to put together a very good all-around game to beat Golden State. If his role players can step up, then they might be able to sneak out of there with a win.
First of all, let me go back a little bit. I mentioned before the break that J.R. Smith, when he was introduced in Golden State, he received a standing O and MVP chance during the game. Now, he's at home. He's in Cleveland. When he gets introduced in Cleveland, will they boo him?
No.
Do you think?
No.
Is there a chance?
No.
It will be scattering.
Rock says no.
I say no because it's not Philadelphia.
It's not. Well, I mean, yeah. Cleveland is just as bad.
No, Philadelphia would boo you. Cleveland, I think.
What you think, Darrell?
I don't think
does
so.
Does he get booed?
I don't think he gets booed. But if he makes a couple bad plays and another little not smart play, then they will let him know.
Okay. So that's just something to watch out for. I'm not sure if the bookies in Vegas has something on that or not. Does J.R. Smith get booed or not during the introduction? But we'll see. So, again, game three, this is vital for the Cavs. Again, 8-1 at home. Matter of fact, I'll go out on the limb. Already said, I think it's a sweep anyway. But if Cleveland has a chance, I don't think that they need to win game three, but I believe they need to win game three and four.
Well, yes, but I think they'll win game three. If they don't win game three, they just might get swept like you've been talking about. Nobody's ever come back from 3-0.
Especially against Golden State.
Right.
But even if they win game three, don't you think it's vital for them to win?
Well, of course it's vital. Absolutely it's vital.
3-1.
Yeah, absolutely it's vital. I'm just saying they're going to win game three. I don't know anything about what will happen after that. I think they're going to win game three.
I think they lose game three and win game four.
You think they'll lose game three? Well, you think it's over, Rock.
No. Something about me with LeBron says – he's not going to be swept.
That's why.
But you think the series is over? I mean, if they're going to go down 3-0, the series is over.
Technically, but realistically, it will not be a sweep.
No, it won't be a sweep. But Golden State will still win the series, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If Golden State goes up 3-0, it's over, right?
Most pundits would say that. What I am saying is Cleveland will probably lose the game three, and will win game four.
That takes a lot to lose, so if you have the mental challenge of dealing with being down 3-0 and then to win game four, that would be different.
Now, something that we brought up previously as well, Finals MVP Andre Iguodala is looking to come back for game three. Now, that's a big improvement from McGee that's playing right now, even though McGee has been playing pretty good, but he's not at the level of an Andre Iguodala.
Golden State is loaded. When you can have a 10-time All-Star sit out a couple games and you still win.
A finals
MVP and you still win.
But he shouldn't have got that MVP. LeBron should have won that MVP. even on
but
a
they
losing
won the,
team.
They won the series.
Even on that. A losing team.
I'm not giving anything to losers.
Look, it's okay.
I'm not even sure if I will give a runner-up trophy, to be honest with you. So,
but it did happen before.
Jerry West.
LeBron was down 3-1 Golden State a few years ago, and then they won three in a row.
Well, that I think that's a better – yeah, 3-1 is a lot better than 3-0.
Well, they didn't have Kevin Durant, and Green was out.
Right. I'm just saying, circumstances, if it's a fight that breaks out, somebody gets injured, you need something special to happen for Cleveland to have a chance.
So what's going to be different in Game 3 other than Cleveland is playing at home?
Well, they'll shoot a lot better. Their shooters shoot the ball better at home. And that should give them a better chance to win. Doesn't mean they're going to win.
So you think LeBron chance. Will have a better supporting cast?
He'll have a better supporting cast. And I think that he'll come out aggressive to make them double him. And then he'll try to facilitate after he's aggressive. And if they can have some good games, then they'll have a chance of winning.
Okay.
And another thing, Kyle Korver was missing in action game two.
Yeah.
If he makes some shots in game three, that changes things too. Once he gets hot, he's good. He makes threes.
Now, Jeff Green only played 19 minutes in game two, and Larry Nance played 12 minutes. Do you think that their playing time will increase to try to
– They did that lineup – because of the lineup that Golden State did, they put the bigger lineup in, so then they put their bigger guys in to match up with them.
Okay.
When McGee started, that switched up Cleveland's way of rotating their players.
And another player, Rodney Hood.
Mm-hmm.
Rodney Hood only had 4 minutes in game two.
Yeah, it seems like they should – empty the whole shelf, throw everything in the kitchen, the sink, and use all their weapons. But
was that because he made a statement that he said that it is hard to play with LeBron?
he did say that, yep.
Makes you wonder, right? But if you're trying to win, you know, you play the players you need to play to give you the best opportunity to win. So we'll see what kind of changes that will occur tonight at 9 p.m. And, again, you know, I'm looking for a sweep, but let's see what happens. Now, Stephen Curry, I talked about, and we talked about the MVP a little already. But if Golden State continues to move forward and win two more games, is he the MVP?
Well, he's the front runner now. He's made every shot he's taken the first two games. He's made some unbelievable plays, and then along with that, he's making assists. He's drawing defenders, and then one time he threw the ball. He wasn't even looking, like, behind him to one of the players for a dunk.
But he's averaging 7 rebounds.
Okay.
Don't forget that.
So, Rob, what do you think? Is he the MVP? Who else would be considered for Golden State?
If they swept?
No, if they win 4-1, 4-2.
Well, if he keeps it up.
If he plays, they're he's the front.
Either way, they win.
He's the front runner. He's a game changer. He made Kevin Durant be more efficient in game two because of the way he stepped up. Instead of deferring to Durant, he said, I got this for a while. When he started hitting those threes, he let Durant know, this was my team before you got here, and just settle down and we'll get this thing done.
So you like him as the front runner for the MVP?
No question.
Mark?
Oh, definitely. But okay. Things could change. We only have two games in.
What about the best shooter ever?
He's probably in the conversation, that's for sure.
He's definitely in the conversation, and he has enough years in now. Before it was like he didn't play long enough. Now this is like his ninth or tenth year, so, I mean, how many years do you play?
Does best shooter count the number of times your ball go in without hitting the rim?
Wow, Rock, it sounds like you have more to say. I mean, what more do you have to say? It sounds like there's a lot behind that.
No, when you're talking about best shooters, I mean,
you have to make the baskets.
Who's a better shooter in your mind? Who can you say?
In NBA history?
That's what we're talking about, NBA.
Pistol Pete Maravich.
You're going on. Bill Neal's not here, okay? Let's go with.
You mean.
I'm totally serious. I think Pistol Pete Maravich
is a better shooter than Curry.
Definitely. Pistol Pete.
But not.
Pistol Pete Maravich, do you realize, Rock, averaged 44 points in college.
Talking about NBA.
Without the three-point line. And in the NBA, I don't have his average in front of me right now, but it's a pretty good average. And remember, he didn't have the three-point line.
He was a good shooter. About shooter. We're not talking about average and points. We're talking about shooter.
He was an outstanding shooter.
How many championships did he win?
He didn't win any. But that has nothing to do with shooting.
You're talking about Ray Allen, your Reggie
Ray
Miller,
Allen, Larry Bird. Yeah. Larry Bird was another one. But I'm not even sure if he's the best shooter on his team.
Now you're going with Clay, right?
If you take a look at Clay Thompson's numbers, they're very similar. Actually, Clay Thompson has a better shooting percentage than Curry in the postseason. And Curry has a little better shooting percentage in the regular season. So it could even be argued that Klay Thompson is a better shooter than Curry.
Again, because of percentage and average? If you had someone shoot... The question would be, if you're coming down the stretch and you have to have somebody shoot a ball and make it, who would you want shooting it?
Well, that's a different question. Just pure shooting.
I'm not talking about like Michael taking them to the hoop or shaking a guy. I'm talking about, say, from this spot, I want you to shoot this ball.
Yeah. And I think arguably, Klay Thompson is definitely in the discussion. I mean, Curry has played, I think this is his eighth year, and Thompson, this is his sixth year. So it's not too much of a difference from a time frame standpoint. And Curry shoots a lot more than Klay Thompson too, so you have to take that into consideration.
And he shoots deeper than anybody.
Well, that's his choice. He can move up. He can move up. But like I said, I'm not saying Klay Thompson is better. I'm just saying he should be in the conversation for sure.
They're definitely the best backcourt shooting tandem in NBA history.
Tandem.
I
agree with that, Darrell. Yeah. I definitely agree with that. Now, there's some discussion. Will Klay Thompson stay? Would he be able to carry a team? You know, could he be the man? I'm not sure about that.
Well, he's a different type of three-point shooter. He's more catch and shoot, or he comes off a screen and shoot. Somebody penetrates and kick it to him. Curry can shoot. Always. He can shoot off the dribble. He can shoot coming off a screen. He can create his own shot. So it's a little bit different.
You never see Klay create his own shot.
So game three, before we get off the NBA, game three tonight at 9 p.m., Rock, who do you like? You said.
I like Golden State by 10.
I like Cleveland by 1. Win by 1.
Cleveland by 3.
Man, we got a bunch of batters in here. I don't care about the line. I have Golden State. I have Golden State in game 3, and I have Golden State in game 4. And the king, my boy LeBron James, I hate to say it, but he's just too tired, man. He's worn down. So let's see what happens tonight with game 3. Moving on, hey, we've been talking about championships, so we might as well move on to the NHL. We have the expansion team, the Vegas Golden Knights versus the Washington Capitals. The series is 3-1. Mark, is it over?
No, it's not.
It's not.
But the Capitals do, I think one thing that isn't being talked about much is one of the reasons that they're up 3-1 is they know a lot about Marc-Andre Fleury. And so
come on, Mark.
Oh, I love Marc-Andre Fleury, but hey, just familiar. Not saying Fleury's not playing well, but the Capitals have played him in the playoffs, well, twice in the last 2 years. So that is the one advantage they have over Vegas.
But the Capitals were losing to the Penguins until this year.
Well, right, they were. So, but still, they know his tendencies.
And you could make the argument, the reason they beat the Penguins this year is because they didn't have Fleury.
No, I think it was just time.
I mean, you can make that case, Mark.
I think the odds gods up in the sky just finally caught up with the Penguins. 9 out of 10 times they had beaten the Caps in the playoffs, they were just due to lose to the Caps.
And it just happens that Fleury wasn't very in well. Net.
Ovechkin is playing very well. The Caps are playing. Their power play is strong. They're a good team,
is it too hot in Vegas to play hockey?
I know, right? Well, in June,
it must not be because it's an expansion team doing what no expansion team has ever done before.
Yeah, but it's not. It wasn't a normal expansion team.
No, it wasn't. But given,
have to put a little asterisk by it, is what you're saying, right, Rock?
Yes.
They still had to win all those games. At the beginning of the season, they went through five goalies. Fleury got hurt, and then the backup got hurt. So Vegas, another thing different about them is it seems like they have 4 second lines, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Their fourth line is a lot stronger than a lot of teams' third lines, yet they don't have a really –
except against Washington.
So they have a really balanced attack, and that's why they've been able to succeed as much as they have. But I just think Vegas is going to win Game 5. I don't know what's going to happen after that. I just think they're going to win Game 5.
So Game 5 is Thursday night, 8 p.m. in Vegas. So if they win, it's 3-2. So who do you like for the series? What are you telling
us?
Well,
I'm pulling hard for Vegas, but my heart's hoping Vegas can somehow pull it out. But I just think the Caps will probably win in six, win the cup in game six.
And who's the MVP? Is it a no-brainer?
Ovechkin or Holtby. I don't know if you saw the save that Holtby made in game two. It probably changed the whole series. Yeah, that would have tied the game. So
that was the play that JR could have made. Think about it. Could have changed the series.
Well, you know, I live in Washington, unfortunately, and they don't have a lot of positive playoff lore. But that save will probably, if they win the cup, that's probably the top of the list of Caps playoff lore, if it comes to it.
So. All right. So we'll see what happens Thursday night, 8 p.m. in Vegas. And we'll see if you're right. It'll be 3-2. If not, hey, it was a good run, you know, by a brand new team.
I think Vegas wins game 5 but loses game 6.
Okay. Got it. So we're going to transition, move on to one of my favorite sports, summertime sport. Could be relaxing, could be frustrating. Well, it could be a little bit of everything. So let's talk some golf, Rock. PGA Tour, the Memorial, Tiger Woods, back in play. The hottest name in golf right now. I don't care if he took 10 years off. He's back. He's still the man from a gallery standpoint. He's still the man from a attention standpoint. People want to follow Tiger Woods, and I thought he did pretty good. Shot -9 for the tournament, even though he finished 23rd in the tournament, as I indicated earlier during the show. For a brief moment, he was -11 and tied for the lead, and I believe that was on Saturday, so that was on the 3rd.
That was on Sunday as well.
That was on Sunday too?
He was one back when he went -11. And then he proceeded to find like he.
But one back isn't in the lead.
One stroke from the lead.
Right. So I'm saying Saturday, he was actually tied for the lead.
Saturday don't count.
At minus. Hey, when you're making a comeback, I think it all counts. So you had, what's his name? Let me take a look at my sheet here, Rock. Bryson
DeChambeau.
Yep. With minus 15, won it all in a three-man playoff with Kyle Stanley and Ben Ann.
Yep.
So he made a birdie on the final hole. So, you know, he did it upright.
Well, he made a birdie in the third hole of the playoff. After the guy had tanked it, he could have made a par and still won at that point. But remember when we had this discussion about Tiger and the Masters?
Yes.
And I said he'll get close, and then when he gets close, the nerves kind of get frayed.
You did say that.
And what happened? He hit it out of bounds, or he did something that was un-Tiger-like?
That's a good point.
And I keep telling you that he's about a year away.
I never argue the part about when it's pressure time, because, again, when you're out of being competitive for such a long time, you're relearning all these different things, even just listening to Jack Nicklaus.
Even though you have 79 wins, son, you got to relearn.
Jack Nicklaus said that. Okay, so this isn't just Kevin Cameron talking.
But so did Rock. So did Rock say that before you went to Jack?
Well, I think I'm going to listen to Jack before I listen to you. Okay?
Weren't you here, Darrell, when I told him? I said, this is what will happen.
But you also told me that someone else will win the Masters, and that person didn't win the Masters either. So, I mean, Tiger is playing against the field. I don't think Tiger is too far away.
He is not.
Okay. So, from a time frame standpoint, we'll see. We'll see if he's a year away or if he could win this year. I believe he could win this year. And I say that the reason I'm saying it is because on the PGA Tour, if you continually put yourself in a position to win, it's eventually going to happen. And that's what I see with Tiger. Tiger was plus +4 on Friday. He went all the way from plus +4 to minus -11 and ended up being minus -9. So in order to turn it around like that, you're really kicking butt.
I must have missed it. I thought he was just even par on Friday.
No, he was plus +4. He dropped down to plus +4 during the course of the round, and then he pulled it back.
But what did he finish?
He finished minus -9.
No, on Friday.
On Friday, I can't remember.
Even par, he shot 72.
I think he was even at the end.
So it's
of the
not
day.
What happened during the round.
Plus, it does happen.
No, it does.
Yeah, because you could go in the tank. You take somebody like a Sergio Garcia, who got a 13 on one particular hole this year, who just lost it, couldn't come back. Even Jordan Spieth has done it.
Let me give you a little history. Tiger's first Master, he shot plus +4. Nine holes. Then he shot minus -6 the next nine holes, and he finished about 19 under par.
Yeah.
And blew away the field. So to say that at some point he was plus +4, that's what these guys do on tour. They go up and down. It's where you finish at the end of the day. It's not like some other sports. It's where you finish at the end of the day.
Well, I just respectfully disagree with you on that. I mean, if you put yourself in a hole, like you said, Rock, other sports, I do think it's similar to other sports. You could lose it. If you go down 20 in a basketball game, can you come back from being down 20?
Yes.
If you're down 21 in a football game, can you come back from being down 21? It takes a lot of
effort
and resilience to come back when you're down that much, especially in golf. Now we're talking about Friday when you're trying to make the cut. Okay, and I think the cut was probably, was it even on Friday?
It was minus two on Saturday. You don't make the cut on Friday.
You do make the cut on Friday.
No, you don't.
Why don't you?
Oh, yes, you do.
Thank you. Okay. So, I mean.
The cut was plus one, I think. I'm not sure.
Okay. So, and when you're down 21 in football, you know you're going to play four quarters regardless. Same thing with basketball. So, you have time.
Well, you have time with golf. Golf each day is like a quarter.
Okay. Like I said, we respectfully disagree. So, moving forward, we have the
we always disagree with golf. Why you call Bill Neal would say, why you call him in here?
Again, when it's Jack Nicklaus and it's Brock Robinson, I'm going with Jack. So the U.S. Open is coming up. And is Tiger next tournament? He'll play in the U.S. Open?
He will play in the U.S. Open.
Okay, not another tournament before the U.S. Open.
I don't know what his schedule is. But Tiger will post in the U.S. Open. He will finish in the top five.
Bold prediction.
Okay. Now, see, now you're trying to win me over.
No, his whole goal is to win.
Right.
I'm saying he will post because he's improving his game. Now he's down to just putting. And he'll get that solved where he'll be in the hunt.
And that's where you want to be. That's where you want to be. You want to be at the point where you know if you can improve your putting, right, that you could win.
He could have won this tournament if he putted.
Right. Okay, so we're going to transition. We're going to go into our next break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little tennis. The French Open is going on right now, and we're going to talk Major League Baseball, a lot of things going on in Major League Baseball, and we're going to talk, I think the NFL stays in the news for whatever reason, and we'll talk the NFL and the Pittsburgh Steelers as well.
VIPs get the full treatment everywhere they go. First class this, front row that, and all access everything, right? Well, that's what you get when you subscribe to UrbanMediaToday.com. You'll be the first to receive exclusive updates in entertainment, news, sports, finance, health, and fashion. You'll also have a direct line to our online station that gives you the best in R&B, classic soul, jazz, gospel, old school hip hop, and more. What else does an Urban Media Today VIP get? How about a chance at winning great prices like free tickets to shows? That's a good price. Gift cards, Urban Media Today swag, and more. And if you don't get enough of HBCU sports, how about an all-access pass to the latest in HBCU football and basketball online? And also on Urban Media Today Radio. And most importantly, you'll receive access to Urban Media Today's podcast on sports, news, finance, entertainment, and more. It's a look inside the urban lifestyle in the palm of your hands or on your desktop. So subscribe today for only a year for $19.99, and we'll do the rest. Urban Media Today is your source for urban entertainment, news, sports, fitness, and lifestyle. So what you waiting for? Log on to UrbanMediaToday.com and subscribe today.